Hello, friends. Welcome to the 17th episode of the Angels Wing Weekend Chat. This is June from the Angels Wing account, and I'm joined here today by my lovely co-hosts, Casper, Johannes, and later on also Rubble. The Angels Wing is an NFT gallery and a community of artists and collectors. And before we start, I'd like to first invite, as usual, Casper to share the story of the Angels Wing Gallery for everyone who's listening to our weekend space for the first time.
Yep, we're the Angels Wing. Welcome all to all our listeners and speakers. Founded by a few friends who met through the Metal Angels project. We're driven by our common passion to showcase independent artists and their art, and helping them rise above the challenges of standing out from the crowded NFT market, which is often dominated by generative PFP projects, as we all know. We started by showcasing art in an on-cyber virtual gallery, and that's pretty much our Angels Wing main gallery right now, with a simple logic that a larger variety of art brings more eyes and cross-pollination of viewership. We've grown since, like Yoon has mentioned, into a community of artists and collectors with regular Twitter spaces such as this one, which are recorded into podcast formats in Spotify, YouTube, and much more. The easiest way, of course, to get in touch with us is to join our very cozy Discord. Everything's on our link tree and our bio, so hit us up if you're an indie artist who needs help featuring your art, or if you just want to join a friendly art and NFT community. I think that's it. So back to you, Yoon.
Thank you, Casper, for the great introduction. Yeah, so here at the Angels Wing, we feature artists on our space to learn more about the story, but we actually also like to learn more about the collectors who collected the artwork. And today we have our new artist, Unicate, and one of her collectors, Rebecca Bastian, on the show. Welcome, Kate and Rebecca. So how about we first start with Kate and let her tell us a bit about her life as a digital nomad who doesn't live in the same space, same place for more than 6 months, how she got into the NFT space, and what inspired her to start her first collection, Womanhood, on OpenSea.
Hey, thank you.
Hi.
Thank you for having me.
Yeah, it's great to have you.
It's really an honor and pleasure to be here with you. So, my name is Kate. I'm a designer for around 12 years, and for 4 years I work more as a product illustrator for different companies, especially in IT industry. So being a product illustrator brought me closer to new technologies, and I think because of that my curiosity helped me discover Web3. Also, as you mentioned, I live more nomad lifestyle and I'm not changing places very often, but together with my partner and our son, we live in places for 6 months, and right now we are in Krakow, it's Poland, and after 6 months we are moving to another one. And yeah, and also I'm a mom to my almost 17 months old boy. I draw for my whole life, but during pregnancy I came back to drawing for myself. And together with my friend, we started motivating each other. And back then I worked on my Womanhood collection. And at the beginning, I planned to sell it as collage sets, prints that you could mix and hang on the wall. But my life verified that I changed the direction and I chose NFT journey. And about womanhood collection, it was the first one. It was a tribute to women. This time, my pregnancy had a huge impact on my art. I learned a lot how to prepare to have a baby, but I didn't want to lose myself. And I wanted to be a mom, but I didn't want to stay only with this tag, this label. And therefore, my collection has 5 chapters. And of course, one of them is motherhood. And here I focused on that part of our lives. I wanted to prepare myself well for this role. But I stopped scrolling Instagram with this, you know, really unrealistic photos. And I started educating myself. And I was missing visual beauty, so I started creating the whole collection. The other chapters of my womanhood collection are softly, and this part is about being thoughtful and sensitive. It's about self-love. Closer is a combination of woman body and beauty of flowers and plants. It's about being closer to the nature. Subtle is a story about feminine moments. It's about peace of mind, simple rituals that we would and we should celebrate. And the last one, premise, it's about a woman's connection between body and soul. So this is a short story behind the collection. How I came to the space. My partner, who is my huge supporter, told me that promoting my art on Instagram is a waste of my time and energy. I was on Twitter for like, I don't know, 10 years, but I never use it like, you know, like right now. It was only like from time to time I was scrolling for some news and healthy tips, because I'm also a healthy freak. On Instagram I was creating beautiful content and almost no one saw it. I spent so much time on stories, and really, I have to admit, it was a waste of time. And I was trying so hard and it didn't work. And when I started using Twitter, everything changed. And we not right away. I had to learn a lot about the space, communities, about NFTs. I bought my first NFT in December, and it was CryptoCoven. And I drawn into the community. I started creating for these amazing people their witches in my way. It was a different style than the one you know from my womanhood collection. But I really loved creating them. And in this way, I met Alex and Rebecca. And with their help, in the end of February, I sold my first collection, the womanhood. And still, this story feels like a dream. And also, fun fact, it was just a few days before my son's first birthday. So it was a great gift for me after this time of hard work. Yeah.
Thank you for sharing your beautiful and inspiring story, Kate. Your son was born this year. Did you say that?
My son born like 1.5 years ago.
Oh, okay. Because I just misheard something. Nice. I'm just trying to check your Instagram, but I noticed that because you mentioned that you spend so much time trying to build an audience there. Somehow I can log into my Instagram account.
Yeah, no worries. The Instagram where I put this collection together with collection my friend's collection, we deleted the account.
I see.
Yeah, because okay. we felt that it was our baby and we shouldn't keep it, you know, somewhere there without our care. So we decided that we should end it, and we deleted this account. I have my personal account, but yeah. I didn't link it with the Twitter.
Yeah, I noticed that. So I was just trying to look you up, but I can't log into my Instagram account right now, whatever reason. Yeah, so anyhow, I love that you mentioned that you actually met Rebecca actually in the Crypto Corbin community, right?
We met because Crypto Corbin community, but... Yeah, somehow this way.
Nice.
I think it was actually our friend, we have a mutual friend, Alex, that introduced us. And
yeah,
I am in the Crypto Coven community, although full disclosure, I'm really bad at any Discord-based community. I just have lost track of Discord. So but yeah. Alex was a huge fan of the Crypto Coven derivative stuff that Kate was working on. And then, I'd been doing this Emerging Artist Sunday thing. And Alex was like, ooh, Kate's thinking about launching an NFT collection. We should get on that. So that was how it all came together.
Amazing, amazing. Casper, you have a question.
Oh, I just wanted to ask Kate about her art technique. You mentioned you have always been an illustrator and designer. Have you always worked in the digital space? Like is it on Procreate, or have you done work before on physical media first?
I've done a lot, honestly, and I was working also with acrylics, and I loved drawing on paper with pens. But also in digital art, I mixed so many different media, and I even mixed 3D and pictures and stuff like that. So after this long journey, I came here and I feel that I worked on this style for the very long time.
Nice. So the art that's mainly on NFTs are all digital, right?
Yes, it's all digital.
Ah, okay. One last question from me, actually. I've actually asked you this on Discord before. I actually really envy this traveling lifestyle of yours. To me, it sounds like one of the most perfect lifestyles for an artist. Do you feel like moving around to different countries actually inspires you in your art by the different locations? And how do you think it does that? Does it actually give you a... depending on the seasons, for example, location. If you could speak a bit about that, that'd be great.
Yeah, sure. I feel that travels inspires me a lot, especially because I love observing, and I love observing people. I love observing places. And being in you know, because... When you are traveling, you have to go out of your comfort zone, and you need to learn more about the place, about people, about the culture, and changing it very often makes you. It creates this urge to learn more about places and people and art and everything that surrounds you in this specific place. So I think travels inspires me a lot.
That's great. That's great. Yeah, I hope to learn more from you how to have this digital nomad lifestyle. It's something that I really aim to do.
Yeah, I really can give you some tips for traveling this way.
First tip is to get EU citizenship, right?
Yeah, probably it's very very it makes traveling easier for sure. When I have to live with this small amount of things and so on, sometimes I miss some things. And for example, I would love to have my own studio with, you know, paper, paints, brushes. But right now it's a little, maybe it's not impossible, but, you know, buying all that stuff, creating studio in the rent apartment, it's not the best way to, you know, spend money. And because I really appreciate that I can create art digitally right now in Procreate, it makes my life easier and possible to be a nomad. Yeah. So yeah. So sometimes I miss some things.
Johannes,
yeah, but it's great. Yeah, go ahead, Johannes.
Oh yeah, thanks. So I realized that you said 17 months. This is something just that parents are doing, still counting the months. So I feel you. And I was wondering, would you say that your way of thinking about art and your style to do and your style that you are doing, did that change after you got a child?
I feel that it's changing all the time. And with every piece, I feel that my style is, maybe also improving. And also for example, womanhood is more simpler than pieces I create right now. They're more complex and I feel I need to create them this way. And yeah, I feel that my style changed my style changed for sure.
So you have this, particularly on OpenSea, you have this signature palette of neutral colors. Is there a reason why you choose particularly like a neutral palette?
I think it's because of the art I really, really love. And I really love Polish painters of the 1920s. And they were using this type of palettes. And for example, I really, really love Wojciech Weiss. You know, his art has almost 100 years already. But I absolutely love the way he used colors and his brushwork. Also, for example, Olga Buznańska. I can later send some links with their art because they're probably not very well known internationally. So I really, really love their work.
That's interesting how your inspiration come from. And if I look at your collection on the foundation, I definitely see this involvement of style. And I'm actually kind of sad that my favorite piece, Lilac, couldn't be delegated to our gallery for technical reasons. But the pieces that hang there are beautiful as well. So yeah, I'm looking forward to like your future pieces on Open Foundation.
Oh, thank you. Yeah, I know that you were looking for another pieces and some technical problems we had, but I hope one day we can change it.
Yeah, I'm sorry. On Cyber is still not 100% perfect, but I'm sure they're looking into it. Sorry about that.
No worries. Thank you.
Do we have any other questions for Kate before we move on with Rebecca? Okay, then let's move on with our next speaker, Rebecca. I tried to think about how to introduce you. It's really hard because I think you're very accomplished and you did so many things in your life. But I think, yeah, so let's start. I think Rebecca is mostly like an entrepreneur and a community builder. But she's also an artist and acrobat, actually, which is just super interesting, like the multifaceted way you live. And I found it very fascinating. So, yeah, Rebecca, so tell us a bit about how you got into the NFT space. And and your company that you just started out building, Own Trail, which is a membership community and networking platform for women. I was wondering whether you plan to bring this also to Web3, because this is something I find very like suitable even for this place.
Yeah, exactly. So, well, thank you so much for having me. And thank you, Kate, for inviting me to join you as a collector in this space. Huge honor to do that.
Pleasure.
So, yeah, it's interesting because when I think about what I'm passionate about in Web3 now, it's definitely around the art and the artists. And I've been an artist of many different forms throughout my life. And my mom's an artist. And so art's been a really big part of my life always. But what got me into the Web3 space was actually technology. So like you mentioned, I have a company, Own Trail, that has actually, we've been around for about 2.5 years now. And we were centered on women at first, but we've actually expanded to all genders now. But it's a platform where people share their journeys in a really authentic, real way that goes much deeper than what you would see on like LinkedIn or a resume or social media. It's really about like what the nonlinear paths really look like. And then people really making these authentic connections and helping each other out along those journeys. And so the reason I started poking into Web3 as I was kind of like hearing more about this space was from the perspective of Own Trail, because we've been really community driven from the beginning, both in terms of our growth, but also our product development. And, if you look at ownchill.com, you'll see that the magic there is really in the stories that people are sharing, not just the technology that we're building. And so I'm like, this whole community-based ownership kind of thing, like that feels like philosophically, it really resonates with what we're building. So I started digging in from that perspective and kind of where I landed with that initial question that sent me down the rabbit hole is that I don't think it makes sense for us to do anything right now. I don't think it makes sense for us to be moving what we're building to the blockchain right now. The DAO based ownership of an existing corporation is pretty complicated. So we're kind of oh, not yet. I still think there's something pretty interesting in the future there in terms of tokenomics and ownership, but it's kind of wait and see with that. But in the meantime, I just became kind of obsessed with the space on a personal level. And so while I kind of started in from a investigating technology for my company perspective, I started to see what was happening specifically around the way that there's all these absolutely phenomenal artists who had been kind of maybe doing their art on the side or not able to really make a living off their art, because we live in a world traditionally where there's amazing level of gatekeepers in the art world. And and the people that do end up being successful tend to be relatively homogenous identities as well. And so I started to get really excited about what this can mean in terms of artists being able to amplify their work, sell their work, build community without those gatekeepers. And that's what really got me really interested. And that's my biggest passion in this space is being able to discover new art and support them and build community around that. And that part's really exciting to me. And, I definitely see where we are in time-wise in Web3 and in NFTs as being, everyone says, kind of cliche, but we're very early. But what that means is that there's this opportunity where a lot of the existing systems of wealth distribution and access to exposure as artists could be disrupted. But it also means that they could just be replicated, right? And we see some potential for that too. And so I actually think that, like, it's really important for anyone who's passionate about representation in the art world and within Web3, like, we should be doing anything we can to try to push things in that direction, because there's, you know, it could really go either way at this point. And so, you know, through collecting art and then trying to showcase different artists, and, you know, like I said, I discovered Kate through this Emerging Artist Sunday that I've been doing, which is just kind of trying to, like, how do I find and highlight different artists? And I have some different NFT communities that I'm part of, and trying to, you know, just kind of create that self-fulfilling prophecy of who ends up being successful, you know? And so, that's been just really fun and satisfying. And I've made some just really cool friends, and I have an amazing digital art collection now too. And I've been making my own digital art too. I've really, like, before getting into Web3, I was everything from, like, I'm an aerial artist to, like, fiber art and different, like, crafts and paintings and drawings, but it's mostly been non-digital. So I've been kind of dipping further into the digital space myself too. And that's been a really fun journey. So yeah, that's kind of how I got here and what I'm excited about.
Amazing. Very inspiring. So I looked at your website and I'm really amazed by all the different types of art that you're creating, and they really made me smile. So some are really charming, and so I do still do this era acrobatics. Is it still part of your life? Like, do you perform? Yeah. Or
I haven't performed for a couple, like, I haven't performed since the pandemic started. So
I see.
Like, I was, like, before I talk about transformations with kids, like Kate was talking about, before I had kids, I was performing all the time. After I had my first kid, I bounced back pretty quickly and was still performing. After the second kid, a little bit slower, but I was still doing, you know, quite a few performances. It was actually around that time that I started doing more doubles aerial, where I had a partner that I do a lot of acts with. And, like, the for any artists here who have done artistic collaborations, it's similar to that in terms of, like, doubles aerial, where it's suddenly, like, a totally different creative process and how you're kind of designing the act, which I love. So I'm really into doubles aerial now, and I'm still doing that, but I would consider myself to be at about 50% of my my skill and strength from my peak right now, but it's still a really important outlet for me. I have a rig that I designed that's in my yard here. So I'm able to, on nice days in Seattle, I can practice at home, which is nice to, you know, especially as my aerial studio has gone through different phases of shutting down and stuff during the pandemic. It's good to have that option. But yeah, still doing it, but kind of sucking.
So have you been, like, an athlete your entire life, or how did you get into acrobatics? I mean, it's so usual, right?
I have not been an athlete my whole life by any means. Like, I never, I never did, like, team sports really much. Like, I've snowboarded since I was a teenager. So I guess that's, like, a consistent athletic thing I've done. But no, it was, you know, I was, like, turning 30. So I'm about to turn 44 now. So it's been about 14 years that I've been doing it. And I think I was just, like, going through a, which, if you look at the trails on Own Trail, not uncommon experience around that age of just, you know, you kind of are, like, following all the things that you thought you wanted to be doing and should be doing, and they're happening. And then you kind of look around and you feel really restless and unfulfilled. Like, that's kind of a common thing that can happen sometimes around that time. And I was going through that myself. And then, I was just kind of in this, like, oh, I just want to burn it all down. I want to, like, move, leave my husband, quit my job, like, just burn it all to the ground kind of feeling. And then I just kind of happened to stumble into, like, oh, you could, I think I was at a restaurant one night and there's some aerialists performing there. And I was talking with one of them and she's like, yeah, you could totally take classes for this. So I signed up for a class and then I was, like, obsessed. And I started, like, it got me in really great shape. It was, like, this creative outlet that I really needed at that time. I made a ton of, like, amazing friends in the circus community. So it basically challenged all of my angst into this one new thing and, like, gave me a new focus, which was really, like, exactly what I needed right then. And has still remained a really important part of my life, you know, for 14 years now since then.
Amazing. Do you need a lot of strength to be able to do that? I mean, if I want to do that, well, I need to be able to do like 30 pull-ups or something.
No, you build up strength as you learn. So okay. Yes, you do have to be very strong, but you don't need to going into it. Like they'll, you know, there's a progression. I mean, you'll definitely have a lot of times where you're so sore you can't move, but but you know, it's definitely something you can learn while doing.
Amazing. It's really inspiring. And you mentioned that you're also going into, oh, I saw Casper actually have, but let me just ask my question first and it's your turn, Casper. So you mentioned that you also plan to go into digital art, or you already started. I don't see any.
I need to update my website with some of the digital art. You're right. I haven't. Okay. If you go to my OpenSea, which like the link, I have like a Linktree link in my bio here, and there's a link to my OpenSea on there. And so you can see my collections that way. I should update my website with that. It's funny. Yeah, I mean, so it's funny because like when I first, I'm a very, like I said, very, very into learn by doing. And so when I first started hearing about NFTs, like I just wanted to explore, but I'm like, oh, how do you create these? Like, what does that process look like? So I started with taking some of the embroidery pieces that I had done. I started teaching myself embroidery when the pandemic hit and we're all kind of like trapped in our houses here. I'm like, oh, this seems like a cute time to be embroidering by a fireplace. So I started doing that. I was doing this kind of like apocalyptic themed embroidery. And so I started with like taking pictures of some of those pieces and then kind of cleaning them up digitally and then turning those into NFTs. Those ones are on like my first account, like my hot wallet. So you might not see them from like, that's basically my vault that links to on OpenSea. But anyway, I was doing that and playing around, like a couple friends bought them, but it was just like, I just wanted to see what the process was like and learn a little bit about that. And then, but now I have this series called Aerialists that is, digital art based on past aerial acts that I've done. And some of them, that I have videos for, I'll actually put the video of the act in the NFT description so that you can see it. But that's been a fun way of merging like my online and offline or like digital and physical art in a way that is really unique, right? Like I really love, you know, when I think about who I'm collecting, I love to collect people that are like creating something really new and different. So that's what I want to create as well. Like, you know, there's certainly like the mainstream stereotypical like PFP that you see. And then there's just like so much more interesting stuff stemming from that. And so wanting to be on the interesting side of the, and not just kind of copying what's already been done. And that's been a fun way to explore kind of some of the past work I've done in the aerial space.
Yeah. I just found your collection Aerialist on OpenSea. It's beautiful.
Thank you.
It's mostly based on self-portraits, right?
Yeah, they've all been self-portraits so far. Mm-hmm. I was thinking, oh, maybe I'll see if some of my friends want me to make some portraits of them at some point too. But so far I've just had a lot of material to work with. And so I've just been going on my own past acts.
Beautiful. Casper.
Yeah. So on to the topic of your OpenSea profile page, I see that you have actually one of Jagnetic's pieces, Waterbound, which is actually one of my favorite of her collection. Of the Lee clutching the crystal ball. I think it's really, really beautiful. Yeah, but I think back to my question, I also took a look at your Linktree and I'm really interested in this authentic part of your repertoire of companies that you founded, mainly because it really resonates with what we do here at the Angels Wing. It's more about coming about your business through a very authentic community and coming from the point of view of inclusivity and having authentic connections before actually coming up with some sort of like a business model, right? And do you mind just speaking a bit more about that? And I guess my second question would be, you did mention that most of your involvement right now in Web3 is mainly on a personal level. What would you like to see develop further before you would bring some of these companies, which I personally feel are so suitable for Web3, what steps would you, or what developments would you like to see in the space before you bring these in real life companies into Web3?
Great questions. Okay, I'll start with the Authentech one. So, so Authentech is a community that I've grown kind of organically and accidentally. You know, if I were to like basically answer most of your questions about things I've done, it tends to be organic and accidental. But so what basically what happened was, like, as I was out there fundraising for Own Trail, I kept feeling like everyone wants you to like check a box in terms of what kind of company you're building. Like literally, like you'll apply to different investors or whatever, and there's literally boxes to check. And I didn't really feel like we fit into any of the existing boxes. Like, you know, probably social media is the closest one, but we really think about Own Trail as being the antithesis to social media. So it felt icky to try to fit into that box. You know, like, yes, we share a lot of the network effects and kind of like top level community of social media and sharing, but like the way that social media sells people to advertisers and creates all these feelings of like FOMO and doom scrolling and popularity contests and highlight reels, like that's all the stuff we're trying to get away from. So I basically started, first I just started talking about, like, you know, on Twitter, like, hey, there's got to be like a different kind of company that's not in this list, right? And then I came up with the name Authentech because I'm a big fan of puns. So I came up with that one. And then I have a Forbes column. So I ended up writing an article about, you know, Authentech as being like this new wave of companies where it's really like community and network driven, but in a way that really centers the human and doesn't commoditize them and leads with values. And like, yes, there are business models, but there's parameters on the business models that say like, we're not going to, you know, to commoditize people. And like in this belief that like you can build a company that is, you know, that makes the world better, that helps people, and that's successful. Like it doesn't have to be either or. And so as I started talking more about that, all these different founders started reaching out and being like, hey, that's exactly what I'm building. Like I never had a word for it, but this is it. And so I was like, oh, awesome. Like, let's all hang out. So basically I set up a Slack channel for that. And we do like every other month we do virtual meetups. And then also as part of that, I started thinking like, well, okay, so this is cool. So we have like right now, I think there's like between 150 and 200 founders that are part of the community. And I was like, God, it'd be really dope if there was like kind of an ecosystem for Authentech where we didn't have to deal with all the noise and bullshit of like the existing venture ecosystem. And so then I started curating this list of investors, so both VCs and angels, who say that they're passionate about supporting this kind of company or investing in this kind of company. And so now I do this thing where like once a month I'll send out a list of all the Authentech companies that are currently fundraising to this list of, now it's about 90 investors, and then I make introductions between them. And so it's just like, it's, you know, and I've personally written some very small angel checks into a couple of companies as well. And I just have this vision for the future where like, wouldn't it be cool if all the people that already got it, who already believed that you can like do well and do good at the same time, we're all in this kind of bubble together so we could just like build separately and not within like all the existing inequitable systems that we've had to navigate. And so that's kind of where we are with Authentech. And again, super casual, super like low-key, organic, like there's no gatekeeping. It's just like, oh, if someone feels like they identify with Authentech, then cool, you're in it. And so
is this open for applications?
Yeah. I'll try to find a tweet to pin here, but it's buildingauthentech.com is the website, and I'll try to pin that here. And basically just click join. There's a little Airtable form you fill out, and then when you submit that, there's a link to the Slack channel, and like hop in and introduce yourself. So yeah, it's cool. It's cool. Like I've made some really, really good friends through that founder community. And I think like one thing for sure as a founder is that you need friends that are going through it too, because it's a pretty wild process. So yeah, so that's the Authentech piece of your question. And then, you asked about like, what I would want to see in the Web3 space before
making what kind of development.
So basically where I landed with that is that like like, I have this whole vision for how OwnTrail, like, even with, you know, we're a C Corp, we've raised venture funding, like, pretty traditional structure in that sense. But, like, I do think there's a vision with, like, a tokenomics vision with, like, a dual token system where the community could have ownership and that there would be kind of, like, a way for, so like the kind of core of OwnTrail right now is that people ask for help on milestones on their journey and then the community helps them. And it's really powerful. Like it gives a space for people to ask for the help they need when they're not used to doing that. And people rally around and give that help. And it's not like a transactional kind of ask offer thing, but it's really like we're all on this journey together and we're helping each other out. And I love that. So I think like a token-based system would also be really cool for people being able to like thank each other for that help and like, you know, kind of like the community owns the product and is able to like, you know, turn it into like a not unpaid labor kind of model as we scale that giving and getting help thing out more too. And I think because we have like, I would say that probably 75% of our community at least has no idea of Web3 right now, right? Now there's definitely like I've been doing different workshops with different Web3 communities, so we're definitely bringing in some more Web3 native people as well. But like I think there's a huge opportunity to move more people into the space, and the OwnTrail community is incredibly diverse. You know, it's still definitely majority women because we started off being centered on women, and I think a lot of our values around authenticity and community are very kind of feminine values. And it's, you know, it's about a little over 50% people of color. I think it's like 15% LGBTQIA. So like the diversity of the OwnTrail community and the fact that they're largely not in Web3 yet makes it very enticing as a place to bring more people into the space as a means of, you know, the ideals around wealth redistribution and just, you know, more autonomous ownership and stuff. So anyway, that's all the reasons why I would like to do that. The reason I'm not yet is that like our core competency isn't building a token-based technology. Our core competency is creating a really safe space for people to share and help in an authentic way. And so what I want to do is wait for there to be more kind of out of the box solutions that aren't so clunky, that aren't so risky, you know, from a safety perspective, like an online safety perspective, like, you know, I think the future of Web3 is really people not calling it Web3 or thinking about it in that way, but really just like doing things where you own your content and your experience and your helping other people, you know, and there's this kind of like, you know, community-based dynamics and, you know, all the things that we love philosophically about Web3, I think is the future. And then the part where you have to be a total geek about it won't be there. Right. And so, like I'm basically waiting for those kind of plug and play tech parts to be really accessible so that we can just plug into them and keep focusing on what we do well without having to like become a Web3 tech company to do so. And I think that will happen. That is happening. You know, I know a lot of people are working on that kind of thing. And I think that's really what's going to hit the next inflection point in terms of adoption and scale. And I'm here for it. Just waiting by and building until it's ready.
Cool. We're definitely looking forward to you being more entrenched in this space. But I definitely hear you about some of the clunkiness of this space. We definitely experience it too as, I think, artists and collectors. But I guess you're right. It's just a matter of time, right? So we're looking forward to that day.
Yeah, especially on a day where Premint was hacked. So we are still early and need to develop solutions where not everybody is losing his ape just because he wanted to be on a list.
Yes, so, seriously, yeah. Right? Gosh. Well, I like kind of just as an anecdotal story that I've learned from in the past is I spent 15 years working at Zillow before I started OwnTrail. And early on, like right when the iPhone came out for the first time, I and a few engineers were really excited about it and like, oh, what could this look like for mobile real estate? So we spent like a year building out Zillow's first iPhone app just as a side project. And the reason it took a year is because we had to completely like recreate the map because they didn't have like an API for their mapping software. So we had to build a interactive map from scratch that was performant and, you know, that worked with all the real estate on it and everything. And it was so hard to do. And then we finally launched it and it went great. Everyone loved it. But like literally a week after we launched, Apple released the Map API and it was so much better than what we built. So we just threw away everything we built and switched over to their API. So basically that's my metaphor for like, don't try to like create something that's not your core product. Like if you know that like it's the, it like just logic says it's inevitably going to have to be made available to the masses and it's just a matter of time, like keep building the thing that you know how to build and wait for that. And just in terms of like keep using resources in the best way possible.
Great advice. Thanks.
Thank you, Rebecca, for these many great insights. So in the last few minutes, let's go back to art and tell us a bit why you collected from Kate and what, why particularly you've been drawn to her pieces. I think you own like two pieces from her Motherhood collection, right?
Two pieces from Womanhood. One of them is the Motherhood part and the other one is the Softly part, I think. And I loved Kate's description of those different phases. And I think I really loved also what Kate shared about like motherhood is such a transformative and important part of our lives. And I share the sentiment with Kate that I don't want to just be a mother either, right? Like it's a foundational part of me that's changed every part of who I am. And I'm all these other things too. And so I really love the way that she explored womanhood in this kind of multifaceted way, with motherhood being a really profound and beautiful part of that. But I think like, you know, back to the box checking, like I think that we as humans have been very conditioned to like fit into certain boxes. And, you know, one thing that I really love about Web3 and that I love about Kate's work is this idea of multi-hyphenate, where like we don't have to fit into a single box and we can be so much more. And most of the people I've met in the Web3 space have kind of had that in common, which I really dig. So like that message, but also, I mean, just look at Kate's work. Like it's absolutely stunning and it's unique. It's not something that I've seen anywhere before. Like she talked about having, you know, inspiration from Central Polish artists, right? Like there's, you know, you can just tell when art comes organically from different inspirations versus when it's trying to kind of like copy what you think is popular at the time, right? And Kate's work is so unique and beautiful. And I was kind of like, you know, because of this like emerging artist Sunday thing I've been doing where I'm like trying to like be like, you know, you see how hard it can be when artists are first coming into the space before they have a big following or like, you know, some like big name collectors or whatever, that just kind of the noise, there's a lot of noise there. So I think curation is a big part of breaking through that noise. And so I just, right when Alex showed me Kate's work, I was like, oh, this is definitely going to be big because it's absolutely stunning and there's real meaning and heart behind it. So like, that's a great idea. Let's propel it. Let's let's make it a big launch. And it was. She like the launch was so well received. And we got a bunch, there's this group JPEG Morgan that I'm part of, that Alex is part of as well. And we got a bunch of people in there excited about collecting. And gosh, I think it was only like within a week that Zeneca collected one of your pieces, right, Kate? And so like you definitely had a big splash there.
Yeah, that's true. That's true. And also, after launching my Womanhood collection, later I launched The Florists. It's like my everlasting flower shop on the blockchain. Yeah, and also Zeneca collected all 10 pieces. And yeah, it was crazy back then. So I'm really lucky when it comes to collectors of my art. And Rebecca, you are amazing. And you are with me from the beginning, and you make this beginning much easier. I couldn't be happier to have such an amazing supporter and collector of my art.
Oh, thank you. Well, I'm proud to be a collector and just to get to know you too. I mean, that's the cool thing is like, and that's something that I really love about being both an artist and a collector. And I think that a lot of the artists that I know also collect as well is like, it really, I don't know. Like, I think that when you, there's definitely some people, I feel like when you look around Twitter, there's some people that are collectors that use it kind of as a power play where you're like, you know, hey, everybody show me all your art. And like, I get all these followers because of it. And like, you know, trying to like, you know, I don't know. Like, I feel like there's some interesting power dynamics there that kind of rub me the wrong way. And so the thing I like about being an artist and a collector is it like, it takes away some of those power dynamics and you're just like, oh, we're all people that like have a passion for art and other stuff and like let's be friends, you know.
Yeah, totally agree with you.
So we usually like to end the space with some advice from our speakers to artists in this space in general. So we heard some great advice from Rebecca already that you should focus on your own ideas and to develop something or evolve a style based on your own ideas and not trying to copy something. Is there anything else, Rebecca, you want to add?
Well, you know, like one of the things that I really like about Web3 is this kind of more community-based abundance mindset where it's like the potential to not be competing with each other, but to really be lifting each other up. And that's very much something that I look for in the artists that I collect is, you know, I look, obviously the art is what draws me in first and I love it, but it's about the artists too. And I really look for artists that are amplifying and encouraging and supporting other artists too. Like that's the vibe that I'm here for. And so like, I've definitely had plenty of times where I've been like, oh my God, that art's amazing. And then I'll go kind of scroll through their profile and it's all just self-promotional. And I'm just kind of like, that's not really it, you know? So, oh, sorry, there's delivery. So, but yeah, basically artists supporting other artists is part of my criteria as well.
Amazing. Kate, do you have any advice for anyone starting in this space?
For sure, be grateful and never take everything for granted. Make some friends in the space. I think it's super important. And honestly, without CryptoCoven at the beginning, I don't know where I would be here right now. And never stop creating, even if it's a bear market. Never stop create.
Thank you for this wonderful advice. Any final words from Casper or Johannes before we close the space?
Don't click on pre-mint buttons for today.
No, I think we've had a really wonderful space, both sharing from an artist and a collector and a businesswoman's perspective. I think I learned so much from this space. I think that's pretty much it from me. Thank you.
Yeah, I really like the point of view of a collector. It was a great pleasure to also have both of you here. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Rebecca and Kate, for sharing your stories. It was very inspiring to hear like everyone's side and have a great Sunday, everyone. And thank you also to our audience. Talk to you next week. Bye.
Thank you. Bye.
Thank you. Thank you so much for having me.
Bye.
Bye.